Well, it's been another week. That's about it. Got to see some old friends, and I read the 5 love languages. Have a guess what mine is. It's my unconventional life. Winter. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So, Froggy is the size of a grapefruit now, and I felt a kick for the first time this week, which kind of freaked me out, to be honest. I don't know, the idea of a human being growing inside someone, it's pretty intense when you actually think about it, and certainly when you see it in person. I guess it makes it feel much more real too. I can only imagine how I'm going to feel when I actually see her for the first time. We had our last OBGYN appointment this week with the doctor who refused to see us anymore because Erie's going to try to have a water birth. We went to see the birthing centre, actually, that Erie wants to have the baby at. And there's still a part of me that has reservations about it. But to be honest, I have reservations about the hospital method too. The birthing centre isn't in the greatest area, parking's limited, and with traffic, it could be a 45-minute drive, but there is a hospital nearby, and I really liked how thorough the midwife was being with her questions and suggestions. Erie has seemed to be more stable and rational in her discussions this week. We haven't come to any kind of agreement in terms of the disagreements that we had about our finances, but I have to have faith that we'll figure it out. And we had another session at the therapist this week, which I'm finding is a near necessity for my mental health. So like I said, I read the 5 love languages this week. I'm not sure if I've mentioned the book on here before, but it's written by a marriage therapist with a Christian monogamous slant, but it's still relatable in its ideology. The idea is that as human beings, we have 5 love languages. i.e. 5 ways that we show and want to be shown love. And the theory goes that when the initial phase of being in love, limerence is the technical term I believe, when that fades, and it always does, it's just a question of how long it takes, and unfortunately it pretty much never fades equally for both people involved, but when it does, we go back to who we were before, and if we don't express love in the same way that our significant other does, if we don't speak their love language, it can rapidly lead to the breakdown of a relationship. So the idea is, you learn your partner's love language and start speaking it, and they do the same with you. And hey presto, happy marriage forever after. And apparently he has tons of examples where this has worked, and listen, I'm not discounting it at all. And I'm working on trying to figure out what my love language is. Erie had already read the book, and we'd figured out that her primary love language is acts of service. Because of her childhood, and the idea is that all of this comes from our childhood, how we were shown love or not as a child, or how we saw love shown or not between our parents. But because of her childhood, she feels love when people do things to help her. Now this came easy for me because my dad always did that and so I picked it up easily. And it was in fact one thing that Erie always appreciated me doing from the very beginning of our relationship without ever having to ask. But we also realised that her secondary love language, certainly now that she's pregnant, is words of affirmation. Hearing that you're loved, that you're appreciated, that someone understands why you're feeling a certain way. And that, I guess, doesn't come quite so naturally to me. I guess I feel it's somewhat disingenuous to say things if you don't really feel them, or rather if it doesn't occur to you to say them. It feels a little sycophantic, perhaps. Or not. You know, maybe that's just my hang-up. It's not that I don't ever say I love you or thank you for doing this or that, or I understand why you feel that way, just that I don't say it enough. It is a slippery slope though, isn't it? I don't know. Reading the book did give me some thoughts in general terms though. Firstly, again, like reading most books on marriage and traditional relationships, if they take so much work, if they're so seemingly unnatural to our natural selves, maybe the issue is not the people involved, maybe it's the nature of the relationship. Maybe the issue is lifelong monogamous marriage. I don't know. But there are moments where it just seems so fucking clear to me. It also occurred to me that that notion of limerence, of being in love, I haven't really felt that way since I was 23. Or perhaps, if I'm honest, it passed so quickly when I did compared to the rest of the relationship that I don't really recall it. But then if it passes with everyone eventually anyway, why does that matter? I mean, I still experience love. I dare say way more so, in fact, than most people who experience being in love. I mean, to me, being in love and love are two such different things that we really need new words to describe them. I guess we do with limerence, but something a little more digestible and less offensive to those in love with being in love. And on that point, the book and I totally agree. But then I had another thought. Yep, I know, I probably think too much, but I guess I'm just bringing up my end for those that think too little. Anyway, the thought I had was, if everybody is going to stop being in love eventually, and the only way to make a relationship work is to learn your partner's love language and speak it, and they do vice versa, surely it doesn't really matter who you're with other than their willingness to do that. Other than a little about physical attractiveness to each other and potentially similar interests, but even these issues can be resolved by adopting the love language of your partner. And if that's the case, hey, I'm fine with that. But I dare say there are a lot of people who would hate this notion that goes against the idea of soulmates and what we see in Disney and blah, blah, blah. Fuck me, I'm on a roll this week. Put simply, maybe your partner isn't really that special. Or rather, their specialness is what you both create in the relationship, nothing to do with who either of you were before. And it also begs the point that if that's the case, why don't we all just get into one of the five groups and only date our species, to steal a Reid Mihalko phrase. If your love language is acts of service, find someone else whose love language is too. Ah, but what if you don't fall in love with someone who has the same love language as you? Well, I guess that comes back to the point, why base a lifelong decision on a feeling that is almost always destined to fade and disappear on average in 2 years? When I read Aziz Ansari's book, he talks about how marriages based on other things besides being in love are far more successful. Or, and here we fucking go, why do we have to get all our needs met from one person? Why can we not love more than one person at the same time? Why do we have to let jealousy and fear of loss inhibit our truer, more loving, altruistic selves? The answer is always inside us. Someone else can never truly complete us if we aren't already whole. It's an illusion. Fuck me, I'm on a soapbox this week. Well, it takes my mind off things, I guess. Anyway, the upshot of all this is that I'm not concerned about love. I never stop loving someone. I'm not worried about that at all. But I have had trouble figuring out what my love language is. In the book, the author talks about how sometimes it's easier to look at when you feel negative and let that show you what your love language is. Not so much what you need as what upsets you when you get the opposite. He talked of asking a husband at a therapy session one time, complete the sentence, I feel most loved by my spouse when... And I thought about it, and the answer for me is when I'm accepted and allowed to be free. And this, of course, comes from how my parents showed me love by never judging me and encouraging me to pursue the life that I wanted to make me happy. So what really upsets me is when someone says otherwise and judges me, especially when I was clear before about who I am and what I want. So I guess the only love language this could be related to is words of affirmation. Except I don't need to be told that I'm loved or appreciated. maybe a little that my feelings are understood, but what I do need is to not be told that I should be this or that, or I shouldn't be this or that. That drives me fucking insane. I believe in letting people be themselves, letting them be free. Because if history has shown us one thing, it's that if you try to control people and make them feel or act a certain way, eventually it's going to blow up. You can't control human nature forever. So I guess the real question is what human nature really is. I don't know. I also thought, there's me thinking again, as human beings, we have needs for other things besides love, right? Shelter, security, ambition, community. So you could certainly make an argument that if you truly felt complete and loved already, you wouldn't desire it so eagerly from someone else. Again, the answer is always inside. But to be fair, I'm just as guilty of knowing the answer inside, but being too fearful and weak to accept it or do anything about it. Look, I'm not saying I have all the answers, just that there perhaps are answers, and that as a species we are capable of living so much more fully and peacefully and kindly than we generally are now. So let's keep searching for it. And if something isn't working, throw it out and start again. I genuinely believe we're on the right path. Anyway, I saw some old friends this week, which was lovely. And I don't know, to me, that's true love. Because that doesn't fade. You don't fear losing it. It doesn't bring with it conflict or hurt. It's just simply wonderful. And it can involve sex or not. In fact, whether it does or not has no bearing on true love. That's, I think, what we call platonic love. What he described as the highest form of love. Fuck me. Colour me Plato. And if that pretentiousness isn't enough for you, I'll see you next week for some more. Open wide and I'll shovel it in. That's another week gone. What have I learnt? And what peace have I found? Cheers for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Drop me a line at myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully some joy. But until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, try to be kind to others, but as much to yourself. We're all fighting our own battle. Lead with love.